at times is becoming farcical, and you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
This is News Talk.
Hey folks, welcome along. Wednesday evening's Off the Ball. Joe Malloy here. Wednesday night rugby tonight is an interview with Willie Anderson on the back of his new autobiography. It's called Crossing the Line, written with Brendan Fanning. A great read as well. Highly recommended. Interview at 8 o'clock this evening. On the football show between 9 and 10, Dan McDonnell and Lisa Fallon on a damn near perfect international window for Stephen Kenny. And then this hour, Enda McGinley will join us later on to chat about the decision facing Special Congress on Saturday week. He did it as a player in Ulster with Tyrone, three All-Irelands. He's doing it as a manager now of Antrim. Balanced, analytical, forward thinker. So it'd be good to get his thoughts around 7:30 on the best way forward. 53106, the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormick, good evening to you.
How are you, Joe? You well?
Very well. Because, Richie, we are joined by Dave McIntyre. Hello, Dave.
Gentlemen, good evening.
Great to have you with us, Dave. That was more like it at the Aviva Stadium last night.
Really was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was, in fairness now to them, it was very much a backing up of what we saw against Azerbaijan. So I was delighted that they were able to give us two performances of real consistency, very similar types of performances, mixed it up a lot as well. I know they've received an awful lot of plaudits today about the number of passes completed, and they broke all sorts of records with regard to that, but weren't afraid to go long when necessary, stretch them a bit, go down the channels. Everybody seemed confident on the ball, back-to-back clean sheets, seven goals, maybe a striker who we can really now rely on, given that 5-2 games is just unbelievable for Callum Robinson. We changed our goalkeeper, they both got a clean sheet apiece. Granted, yes, the opposition weren't great. I know Qatar are ranked above us, but they were terrible last night. Doesn't bode well for their chances of impressing at the World Cup next year. And we know our Azerbaijan are ranked, but where they received criticism when it was merited, they definitely deserve praise now that it's due as well.
Richie, so often at home against that kind of opposition. And by the way, it was the same opposition we played in March in Hungary and drew 1-1 with and did not cut them open in the same way as we did last night at all. But quite often with that opposition under previous managers the last couple of years when things have been very stale indeed, we have made hard work of those types of matches. They've grown into games because we have allowed them to, and they've looked better than they are. And maybe on a better night we might have won 2-1 or 2-0 and scored a header from a corner, and that might be the sum total of the creativity. Whereas this was, from start to finish really, Ireland in possession were, by Irish standards, so I'm not saying by World Cup winning standards before anyone jumps down my throat, but by Irish standards, that was exceptional at times.
It really was. It's like, again, as Dave pointed out, it's hard to get carried away because it was Qatar and they were brutal. But from Stephen Kenny's point of view, two early goals in these matches, seven minutes on Saturday in Baku, helped massively because they give you a huge foothold in the game. But the encouraging point was, where opposed to Saturday, they didn't sit back yesterday when that first goal went in, and they went looking for a second almost immediately. And that first half was a torrent of chances. Like, we think about Obenye's chance going off the crossbar, Shane Duffy and John Egan both had chances of headers from set pieces that could have easily gone past the Qatari keeper last night, Barsham. Like, it was perfect. I think what Stephen Kenny will be most pleased about, apart from the back-to-back clean sheets, seven goals in two games, is that last night was the perfect realization of how he wants to see the game played. And by that I mean not just passing and you know, fluidity and creating chances, etc., etc., but they stuck to it. There wasn't a sense that they were taking the foot off the pedal because this lot were rubbish. There wasn't a sense that they were going to triumph and fancy and unnecessary because they knew they were comfortably home and hosed in the game. They kept going about their business from minute one to minute 90. Everybody that came in knew their job. Everybody who was starting knew their job, and they exacted those tasks to perfection. I think that, like, getting the, it's a complete performance against Qatar, yeah, but it's a complete performance nonetheless, and it's definitely something, and it is a window that Kenny can build upon going into November.
When did we see that type of performance, for instance, under previous manager in McCarthy? I'm talking about his second reign here. His first reign obviously had very, very good performances. Let's make no question of that. But previous tenure under McCarthy, O'Neill and Keane, and then Trapattoni, well, he was a different type of manager trying to do different things, and then beyond, you're into Staunton, and, you know, we're going back a long way. then I don't think, Dave, we ever, across those various managers, could open a team like that with that kind of variety, created those kinds of chances, different types of chances. And you know what jumped out? I remember watching, can't remember which McCarthy game it was. Damon Delaney was alongside me. And watching Ireland try to play out from the back, he was just tut-tutting. And he made the observation that there's no method here. There's nothing organised here in terms of what we're trying to do. These are very good professional players, but it's off-the-cuff stuff. We're trying to play football off-the-cuff here, and we're getting killed as a result. Last night, you watch Ireland. There's a method there. It's coherent. There are triggers. When the play develops in a certain way, certain players know what we're trying to do. And, you know, yes, it's Qatar, but if you're watching that last night on the back of the performance in Baku, if you're watching that and you're not seeing how this is different, if you're actually not seeing that this is different, then you're doing that willfully and deliberately, because it's just so obviously different. And it's a really exciting step now that finally Stephen Kenny's been pushing this boulder for a long time and getting very, you know, not getting far at all. It's starting to begin to move forward.
Yeah, well, look, it's that old adage, isn't it? That winning takes care of everything. He was trying to get that point across for quite some time now. But it's impossible for anyone to truly believe what you're being told by the manager when the results are so poor.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get away from the fact that under Stephen Kenny, there's been a couple of absolutely dreadful performances. And the Luxembourg result is always going to be ranked up there as, you know, in the top three or four worst results in the history of our national team. But it finally looks like their luck is starting to turn. And if you look at the goals that have gone in over the last two games, two of them have been deflections and one of them has been a penalty. They could not buy a break of that description for the first 14 or 15 games. Now, everything that they tried went wrong. Every bit of bad luck that possibly could have come their way did go their way, both on and off the field. Their injuries have cleared up to some extent. It's no surprise now that guys like Jeff Hendrick are starting to look like their former selves. Everybody seems to be playing with a smile on their face, which is what happens when you score goals and you keep clean sheets and you win games. Everyone starts to feel better about it because the pressure is visibly starting to lift now, and they've bought themselves a little bit of time. It's another step in the process. Going to Luxembourg and putting in a good performance and hopefully winning would be another huge step. In terms of the managers that you listed a few minutes ago, in fairness to Martin O'Neill and his regime, particularly at Euro 2016, there were times there where I just thought we were playing some really good football. And again, you mentioned Jeff Hendrick. Well, I mentioned him. He hasn't played as well as he did last night since Euro 2016. I remember times against France in that defeat. After we took the lead that day, that Jeff Hendrick played some brilliant football and he was in really good form for Burnley at the time. I know he's not doing very well at club level at the moment, but there were some really good days under Martin O'Neill where it wasn't just all route one and playing without much of a strategy. But yeah, you have to go back 4 or 5 years. I mean, I remember in Mick McCarthy's second term, we were playing against Gibraltar and they were dominating us in possession. And when you're looking at it thinking, this is literally one of the worst teams that's ever taken to an international pitch and they are better than we are on the ball. That will never happen under Stephen Kenny from this point on against a side that weak, which should be the case because our guys are playing at a good enough level to be able to keep the ball off the really weak teams. And then slowly, as the steps continue to be made, we will be able to do it against better opposition. And it would be very interesting to see if this group was to restart next week, how much better we might be in the games that we took no points from and perhaps feel we deserved a little bit more.
Well, because I think they're more pragmatic as well. Like, I do feel at the start they were all trying a new system and the team was changing every bloody game, sometimes on the mornings of match with COVID and everything else, but they were so conscious of trying to make a change to play a more possession-based football, they forgot about winning at times. Like, they were just slavish to the system and there was no pragmatism. Whereas I felt the first time, and like against Luxembourg, that was so evident and that was worrying, and I made that point to Keith Andrews when he was in about Luxembourg and the overplaying. Against Serbia, the way Bizuna was going long at times was better, it was more pragmatic. We were more pragmatic again in Baku and then playing in the right areas. And then look, last night against that opposition, it's much easier to play out from the back than it would be against better opposition. But there's more of a, there's a bit more steel about things now. There's a bit more, they've settled on a formation. The players have spent more time on the pitch together. Relationships are developing.
There's cohesion there.
Yeah, it's not one factor. It's various things have come together. And sometimes, last night felt like another jump from Baku, like you could see the confidence levels were raised a touch. So that can only further, I think, and that could happen quite rapidly. Now, there's still, obviously, an onus to go out and back it up against Luxembourg. I sort of feel like, in some ways, Richie, in a perverse way, the Portugal Portugal type games take care of themselves for Ireland, because we're not going to have much of the ball. We have to get organised. We have to keep it tight. We have to maybe try and play in the counter. And we're generally equipped to do that and have been for a very, very long time. I think Luxembourg away, given what happened in March in Dublin, that is now a really interesting litmus test for Kenny and the progress that we're hoping has been made here.
Yeah, and I think the motivation levels will be slightly different for that game as well. I mean, judging what happened to Luxembourg last night, pardon me, they got hammered by Portugal 5-0. And I don't think they were at the races at all from the off. I mean, Portugal had two pretty early penalties put away by Ronaldo, and from that point on, the game was dead. We are going to go into that match, you would imagine, motivated, because it's something I mentioned on the show last week, is like Kenny needed to instill a sense of stakes for these two games. Like, they were dead rubbers to absolutely everyone else. Nobody gave a monkey's how Ireland were getting on against Azerbaijan outside of these borders. But like, you know, we did, and the performance was necessary. And I think he definitely instilled that into the side. They did the job over in Baku. They built upon it again. And then last night, I think, to be honest with you, I think it's very easy to cast aside the performance in Faro, given the nature of the defeat and the fact that it was a defeat at the end of the day. But like, they were very good for large spells. And again, like, Hendrick's performance wasn't just last night. It wasn't just in Baku. I thought he was really good in Faro. And I've been as critical as anybody of Jeff Hendrick. But he has shown a steady upward curve throughout this qualifying tournament, as have most of the team, to be fair. You give yourselves a brilliant base with that back three of Egan, Duffy and Omar Bamadeli, who settled in majestically for a 19-year-old. We have to remember that, on the right-hand side of defence. We've got two really good goalkeepers to rely on back there. It's sorting out the midfield. Like, if we can get, you know, a midfield that can instill a bit of confidence when we're not in possession, you know, when the opposition do have the ball, when the opposition are causing us a bit of hassle, that's where I felt there were worrying signs in Baku, and that they might be opened up, those fissures might become a little bit wider against the Portuguese. But like, these two games should be used as Ireland's baseline. We're not getting carried away. We're not saying that we're world beaters all of a sudden. No. But this is what we should be aspiring to do against these kind of sides. And if we build upon that, absolutely brilliant.
Dave says, I loved that performance last night, lads. Quality passages of play throughout. Horan came in, did a great job as well. Hendrick back to 2016 level. Really encouraging, says Dave. Yeah, I tend to agree with all that. And Dave McIntyre, as opposed to this Dave. Shane Duffy is a man reborn. I don't remember. I mean, I think he was always going to get back to the form of being a quality defender and a threat at corners. I don't remember his range or his quality of passing being at this level in a green shirt before.
Yeah, well, he's probably playing under a manager that's asked that of him for the first time. So perhaps he's never really had the opportunity to show it. Shane Duffy would have been playing behind two or three central midfield players for much of his Ireland career, that for the most part, when he had the ball or his goalkeeper had the ball, they had their backs to him. And his only option was either to go long or go to his two fullbacks. So it's no surprise that we haven't really seen this aspect to his play before. And then in the last couple of weeks, we've got a little more of an insight into what his world has been like over the last 12 months. He's had to deal with an awful lot off the field as well. So it's probably no surprise that his form dipped to the level that it did when he was on that loan spell at Celtic. And it's no coincidence, not just the Republic of Ireland, he's now starting to produce consistently very impressive performances for it, for Brighton as well. And he's gone back to that club where he really wasn't wanted a year ago, and he's forced his way back into their starting 11. He's scoring goals, he's assisting goals for Brighton, and he looks like a guy who is in a position where everything has leveled itself off the field for him. And we're not professional athletes. We've no idea what it's like for a player who's being asked to play in front of the crowds every week when things off the field are going very badly for him. And I can't imagine what that is like. You could argue that being on the field is a sanctuary for them, but I'm sure that isn't the case for every guy. Mm. And we all love Shane Duffy, don't we? Like, he really is our talisman in a lot of ways. And he's such a good guy to chat to when he's not on the field. Everyone's delighted for him. And I mean, he anchors that defence. John Egan is just playing superbly. We still have Daryl Lenihan to come back in. We have Daryl Shea, who had a superb campaign at times before he picked up his injury. Kieran Clark will come back to add further competition to those three central defence of the Berts. James McLean is going to have a right scrap with Enda Stevens now on the left. And finally, we see Doherty performing as he did for Wolves for those two or three seasons when he was playing at that right wing-back position. And there's absolutely no choice for the likes of Jeff Hendrick and Conor Howard. If they want to play for Ireland again, they're going to have to show Stephen Kenny that they're better than the young guys he has been trusting. The guys like Conor Coventry, Stephen Malumphy, who weren't available this week. So there's no chance that they will be able to muscle their way past those guys unless they show the sort of form they did last night. Surprise, surprise, what does the element of competition bring to a squad? It brings a general upping of standards right across the board.
Yeah. We should start the news round with thanks to Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. So a few different bits going on. Richie, Stephen Kenny, was talking Nations League last night towards the end of his press conference.
And sure, why not? You might as well look ahead. Stephen Kenny targeting a Nations League group win for his Republic of Ireland side. Ireland in League B yet again, with the draw to be made for the groups on December the 16th. Kenny finally got his first home win as manager last night with that comfortable 4-0 thrashing of Qatar. And he's already been plotting the route beyond next month's World Cup qualifiers with Portugal and Luxembourg.
Personally, marking out sort of medium, long-term strategy for the team. You know, I knew that one of the things that we're looking at doing, and we knew that the team would start to take shape, and the Nations League in June, with four matches, and our ambition is to win the group, you know, in the Nations League, because that gives you a Euro playoff. Our ambition is to win the group in the Nations League. We'll be taking the Nations League extremely seriously and prioritising it, and it'll be determination to win the group, because that gives you a Euro playoff, and regardless of how you do in the European qualification. So that will be significantly what we'll be looking to do going forward. And, you know, myself and Keith have sat down about that a long time ago and discussed all of that. And yeah, I reckon that if we apply ourselves and continue to improve and players get more exposure, more international football, and we improve again, we give ourselves every chance, and if we make it a priority, we can strive to do that.
And now, Richie, news from Cork football.
Yeah, Keith Ricken has been proposed to succeed Ronan McCarthy as Cork senior football manager on a two-year term. The St. Vincent's club man has spent the last 3 years as the under-20 football manager with Cork, winning an All-Ireland and a pair of Munster titles. Ricken will be assisted by Ray Keane, who is the brother of former Kerry boss Peter Keane, James Lockery, Micheál O'Cronin, Barry Corkery and Des Cullinan.
Okay. This Andy McEntee situation has resolved itself.
Yeah, for now. Andy McEntee survived a vote of club delegates to remain on as Meath senior football manager last night. Last week, the county executive decided against ratifying McEntee for the third year of his current term. An independent review of his last 2 years, a county board meeting was told, included a questionnaire answered by the players, but only 27 delegates sided with the executive last night, with 46 voting to keep McEntee in the job. And Meath chair John Kavanagh spoke to LMFM last night and was asked if the process has been damaging.
Look, it's the critics would probably say it has. If things don't go well next year, it'll always be thrown back on that, you know. But I have full faith and full belief in the structure that we have here in Meath. It's democracy at its best, and the clubs then finally decided. And I have no fears about it affecting Meath at all, no.
Yeah, I mean, Dave, every county has their own quirky system, and the Meath one lends itself to a situation like this, which I think does weaken McEntee and just doesn't help the atmosphere in the county. Like, I remember Kieran McGeaney a number of years ago came out the wrong side of a club vote in Kildare. And I know from speaking to one delegate at one club, like, one of the reasons they voted against McGeaney that time was he never showed his face at their club matches. Now, I'm sure he was busy managing a county team at the time. So that just shows you the way these things can go. That was in McGeaney's case. In McEntee's case, the clubs have said, yes, you're in. But I mean, he can hardly feel great about his county board or how they're going to support him over the next while. Now, it does surely weaken him in some respects.
Yeah, well, it certainly when he's going, you know, cap in hand to the county board looking for something extra, whether it be financial or logistical or personnel-wise, to maybe assist Meade's drive in 2022, he's speaking to guys who he knows have no faith in him and very much wanted him out. So it's damaging in that sense, but his standing with the players and the clubs has probably been strengthened. So, I mean, you can take with one and give with the other. I think overall he can look his players in the eye and he knows that they went to bat for him. He knows the club delegates went to bat for him. And you have to wonder why the county board went down this path when they clearly had not done any sort of prep before it. They'd no canvassing done. They hadn't really spent any time just to get a gist of what the sense was in the county, because they have been very much undermined. And it's a decision they probably took a bit too quickly. It was a little premature on reflection. And I would hope that if they're in a similar boat and they've got doubts about the county manager, whether it's McEntee this time next year or whoever comes after him, that they will take a little more time in choosing what path they're going to go down, because they've had this thrown back in their face very quickly here.
Yeah, this is the third time this has happened, Rich, I think, in about a decade. So they have a bit of history here of axing a manager and the clubs rejecting their view.
Yeah, it happened with Banty and it happened with Eamon Barry before. I think Eamon Barry was probably the most surprising one. I think people perhaps thought he'd survive a little bit longer than he did. But yeah, it went that way. But like, I don't know. Like the executive and the county board said last night at this meeting that they did conduct this independent review into the 2 years of, you know, McIntyre's term most recently, and that included, as I say, a questioning and a questionnaire filled out by the players, what the level of return was like from the players. I don't know what the players actually said. I don't know. But there was just, like, it still leaves McIntyre in a pretty weakened position, because he is looking around that dressing room and thinking that there are one or two or maybe more, and God knows what influence they have, who don't necessarily want him there or thought that, you know, someone else should be lined up to replace him, especially this late in proceedings.
Yeah.
But he has gotten the backing of the delegates. He's gotten the backing of the clubs. He's going to continue on. I think he's going to swallow this and move on. It's the third year, we have to remember, of his term. So we'll see what happens beyond next year. But it's a damaging situation. Like, nobody comes out of it looking good. Like I mentioned this last night, no matter the result of last night, no one comes out of it looking well. McIntyre, the county board, the executive, it all looks like a bit of a shambles. The fact that they conducted the vote in secret as well last night doesn't look good either. The only positive thing from McIntyre's aspect is the margin of that victory last night, 46-27.
Okay. Now, D-Day is approaching. Special Congress Saturday week.
Yeah, the GPA says a vote in favour of Proposal B at Special Congress will generate an extra €10 million in revenue. The players' body have written to individual county board chairs urging them to vote for the league as championship format. Proposal A, though, would see altered provincial championships kept as part of the All-Ireland series. But the GPA believe a vote for Proposal B at next month's Special Congress will be worth an extra €2.2 million to the provinces. Offaly chairman Michael Dignan told OTBAM this morning that they will be backing Proposal B and has urged Croke Park to reveal their position on the issue.
I think Buchan, you know, generally would have to keep maybe out of this, you know, in terms of giving a personal opinion. But I think maybe, you know, I think Tom Ryan could come out and discuss some of these issues and give some surety around them. Like, you have to listen to your players. And they're the ones that, I wouldn't call it a sacrifice. They want to do what they're doing. And I always, you know, I think go back and ask any county player, it was the best days of your life, you really enjoy doing it. But it is a huge commitment. And why not listen to them? You know, because as far as I can see, I haven't heard Annie, and you can correct me on this, but I think, you know, it's been fairly unanimous among the players, among the managers around the country. And I think, you know, on a trial period, what have we got to lose? Especially if that financial sort of surety is given. So I would encourage, you know, people to think along those lines. I can't speak for any other county. We're all independent, and we think along our own lines. But we have certainly considered in great detail at Offaly, and I just think it's a fantastic opportunity to show a bit of leadership, a bit of forward thinking, and bring a bit of excitement back in, because like nobody wants to see a continuation of these hammerings that have been going on over the last number of years in championship. And just look at the average losses that some of these teams are taking. And if you want these lads to continue to play inter-county football and put in the time and effort that's needed, you want to take their views very, very seriously now, because we could look back in a few years' time and where life is changing, society is changing all the time, and maybe players won't continue to put up with the status quo.
Yeah, very good chat this morning, Michael Dignan with Jair and Owen. Worth the listen back on the OTB app, where you can get all our content, by the way. It's in your app store, it's free, just search OTB Sports. Dave, I know obviously you're a big GAA man, you've had a look at this, you've been having a look at this for years, and you're a Proposal C man. Keep things as they are, things are going well.
Yeah, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool traditionalist. I think get rid of the qualifiers as well, get rid of the Super 8s, and ensure that the preliminary competitions every January are kept as well. Absolutely not. Look, there's three proposals on the table. For me, A and C are unthinkable. So it's more of a process of elimination for me, that option B is really the only realistic route they can go down. And I'm fully aware of the drawbacks to option B, and there are several. And it is going to be a bit of a teething process when it comes to some of the issues that are going to be raised in the first couple of years of this. But we just cannot continue as we are. And I hear managers, the managerial merry-go-round at the moment. We heard Sir Tony Moore went in with Leitrim yesterday, and we know McIntyre is going to still be there with Meath, and there's new Cork manager today. The those managers going into those counties, particularly someone like Andy Moore in particular, if he's managing a Leitrim side that is going into the championship as it has been for the last 20 years, he's at nothing. I mean, all he can possibly do is try and get them back out of Division 4. But there's a couple of very strong teams in Division 4 now. And like Cavan and Tipperary, for example, it's going to be very difficult for Leitrim to achieve anything. If his first year as Leitrim manager is under a proposal B-type championship structure, it's a game changer. And I'm sure Leitrim footballers amongst a whole host of counties would be absolutely chewing at the bit to get back training and get themselves into what it would be a brand new dawn for players in those types of counties. So yeah, I'm aware of the problems. You're probably going to get texts about it right now as we get stuck into that discussion again. But it is a far more appetising option than doing nothing or going with option A.
All right, fellas, we're out of time. Dave McIntyre, pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, lads.
Richie, thanks a mil.
Nice, lads.
Now, competition time.
Your chance to win big. News Talk's Cash Machine.
Yeah, we opened the lines this morning for your chance to win big cash with News Talk's Cash Machine. Today there was €5,817.87 in the cash machine. When we called Pat Staunton in Castlebar after 3 o'clock, he picked up within the five rings. He told us the correct amount and he walks away nearly £6,000 richer. Well done, Pat, in Castlebar. Tomorrow on News Talk Breakfast at 8 a.m, we will top up the machine and tell you exactly how much you could win.
The News Round on Off the Ball
with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.